Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanant Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. Anger can only happen when I'm unconscious. But happiness, real deep joy, not the, oh, this is a great pizza, but real joy, can actually only happen when I'm conscious. When I'm right here, right now, I always say you cannot be happy tomorrow or yesterday. The only opportunity you have for happiness is right here, right now. The only opportunity you have for peace is right here, right now. And being in a place where you are simply engaged physically, not engaging your brain, not having to think about things, figure things out, because all of that's occupying your conscious mind. But actually, your conscious mind is able to just be with you, right there in your breath, in the sunshine, in that moment, in the flowers, in the fruit, in whatever you're growing in the garden, in that work. And a lot of people find that simple work, cutting wood, doing gardening, because it isn't occupying so much of the brain, allows the conscious mind to actually become meditative if you have a meditative state of mind. So it actually gives you that opportunity to bring the consciousness right into that moment. And so that's going to be where, as you're doing it, when the consciousness is right there with your breath, with the sun, with the smell, with the sounds, with the people around you, fully present, where that joy comes. But another element also is there, two other elements actually. First of all, being in nature in general, fantastic antidote to depression. Trees, soil, sunshine, rain, whatever it is in nature. But being in the natural world brings us back into touch with our own nature. And so that's probably another element that brings you that experience of such joy. And the third aspect is service. Not charging anything, helping those who are needy, helping those who have nothing, and just giving of yourself, morning till night. Okay, I may not know much, but I'm a strong guy. I'll plow your fields, I'll do this, I'll cut this, I'll pick your weeds, or whatever it may be. But as you said, they don't have many machines, so you're doing the work of a machine. You're using your muscles, your breath, your time, your energy, taking nothing back, just giving. And the aspect of seva, this is why we emphasize seva so much on our spiritual path. The act of giving, of service, of just being a tool for the divine to flow through, a tool of service for others, is a very, very powerful path to awakening and also to great joy along the way. And in a case like this, it's very easy to just be giving, but allow yourself in all the other months of the year to see whether you can bring that element into it. Can you be in full service, whatever you're doing, to humanity? Use your mind, use your body, use whatever you have, use your time. Fully in service, thank you. Fully in service. And if you can do that, and stay conscious, you'll be able to touch some of that all the other months of the year as well.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. Neither higher nor lower. I try to avoid subjective ideas of better, worse, good, bad, high, low, because it all coexists. And it's all part of this divine creation, whether it's the very physical but temporary but beautiful flower that gives us fragrance for, you know, half an hour before it wilts, or whether it's the presence of the divine that's eternal. Either way, they're both exquisite in their own ways. And so it's not about better or worse, but it's just about different levels. So there's two levels of truth. And one I call the lowercase t truth. And that's the truth that is dependent upon time and space. So we're going to call that our truth. Right now, for example, is we are in Rishikesh. It is Friday evening. It is 7 p.m. That's true. But it's true only at this exact intersection of time and space. In this space, but 5 minutes from now, it's going to be 7:05. It's not going to be 7 p.m. In this exact space tomorrow, it's going to be Saturday morning, not Friday evening. But even at this time, in a different space, it's not true. Pick up the phone, call your friends in L.A. It's not Friday evening, it's Friday morning. Pick up your friends in Australia. I think it's past midnight already, or soon to be. It's Saturday morning already for them. So that lowercase truth is only at this intersection of time and space. So who are you? Lowercase t truth? I'm female, American, 48, sannyasi renunciant. True. But true based on this intersection of time and space, right here, right now, this physical vehicle, that's its truth. Capital T truth is that which is not dependent upon time or space. Which means there can't be a your truth and my truth. Which means it's not dependent upon race or religion, societal norms, belief systems. That's the truth that just is. So my capital T truth, divinity, soul, spirit, essence, love. Never born, never dies. Thich Nhat Hanh, the famous, very beautiful Buddhist meditation teacher, said very beautifully, he said, enlightenment is when the wave realizes its ocean. And that's a very beautiful way to understand these two levels of truth. So it's not that the wave is somehow an untruth. It is true to the extent that it exists in this moment. If you doubt that, go out there and try to swim in it, especially if you can't swim. Grab a surfboard, go out there, especially if you can't surf. You're going to experience the very true but lowercase t truth of that wave. It's going to toss you around. It's going to thrash you about. It could drown you. So it's true. It's not an optical illusion. You know, a lot of times people think when we talk about an illusion that we mean an illusion like that water off in the desert where there isn't actually water. There never was water. It just looks like it because of the refraction of the light. It's not what we mean. What it means is just, it's not eternal. It's not that capital T truth. So the wave is lowercase t truth. Yeah, it exists. Ask the surfer. But even while it exists as a wave, ultimately, its truth, its capital T truth, is ocean, even in that moment of a wave. It doesn't have to wait till the wave is over in order to regain its oceanness. Even as the wave, at its core, what is it? Ocean. If you take a dropper full out of a wave, go out in a boat, go on a surfboard, take your syringe, get some water from the wave, take it into a science lab, put it under a microscope. What's the scientist going to tell you it is? Ocean. So even in its waveness, its ultimate truth is oceanness. And so when we speak about our truth, even in my 48-year-old female American sannyasiness, my ultimate truth is divinity. I don't have to wait for the body to be finished. You know, people talk about, after I die, then I will attain that liberation. It's not about that. The wave doesn't have to stop being a wave in order to be the ocean. It never stopped being the ocean. I don't have to stop having this body to go back to being soul. I just have to stop the mind from identifying as body instead of identifying as soul. It's just a shift in focus. You know, like those actual optical illusions that we see when we're kids, right? And you have the two faces, and the question is, do you see the two faces or do you see the water vase? Right? You've seen those, no? Do you see the old woman, the young woman? They coexist. They're both there. Some of us can see one of them more easily than the other. Then somebody comes and they point out the other. Oh, yeah, now I can see it. And then beautifully, once you can see it, then it becomes easy to see it. And so when we speak about truth, it's that. It's can you shift that focus for a moment? Away from the two profiles so that you can see the vase. Just can you shift from seeing just my body, from seeing just the chemical and electrical behavior in my brain that we call anger or joy or laughter or sadness or memories or despair or lust or intoxication or whatever that pattern may be in this moment. But can I shift from identifying as that to identifying as soul? To realizing that truth of who I am. There's a beautiful teaching in the Bhagavad Gita. Most of chapter 2 in the Gita is dedicated to this, of Lord Krishna explaining to Arjuna that he's not the body, he's not the doer. Yes, he has the body. And all these people in front of him who look like his family members, these look like cousins, these look like gurus, these look like... None of them was ever born. None of them's going to die. That Arjuna is this infinite soul playing the role of a warrior. He can't take the life of these people in front of him. Because they were never born, they'll never die, their soul, just like his soul. And there's that beautiful, famous line where Lord Krishna reminds us, he says, it can't be dried by the wind or burned by fire, wet with water, cut with knives. That's the capital T truth. Sure, my skin can take a knife, you'll cut it, it'll bleed. That's the lowercase t. That's this temporary wave-like moment. But really who I am isn't my skin cells that are bleeding. Because even if they don't bleed, they keep shedding. Every few days, my skin cells keep regenerating. I've got new ones every day. But who I am isn't changing. All of the cells of my body keep sloughing off and regenerating. But I don't have any discontinuity in my sense of self. Get sunburned, skin peels, face is gone, arm is gone, whatever it may be. But you don't lose a sense of self in that. Give a blood donation, get a blood transfusion, give blood, get blood, give a kidney, get a kidney. Doing all sorts of things, not losing a sense of self, though. Because I'm not that. What's the I that's continuous through all of this sloughing and regenerating of skin cells? Through all of the blood, through all of the regeneration of the blood cells, the organs. What's consistent? Not only through this body, but through the past ones, through the next ones, the I. That's the truth. That beautiful interaction between the physical brain and the truth of who we are, our consciousness. I started delving into this topic many years ago when a woman we knew very well and loved very much developed Alzheimer's. And we watched as not only did she forget things, not only did she lose memory, but her entire personality changed. And the thing that hit me the most was love seemed to disappear. So where there had been relationships of love, not only was she not able to recognize who this being in front of her was, but the love also wasn't there. And it hit me very hard, and I really started thinking, because I've got a background in neurology, so I know what goes on in the brain with dementia. But love feels so fundamental to who we are, right? I mean, it doesn't just exist in our dendrites and glial cells, right? I mean, really, is that the house of love? Of course not. You feel love. You know, this isn't just an experience of the connection of my neurons, because that's all you lose in dementia. I mean, we know in the brain what's happening. And so I really started delving into this and realized, okay, so the brain, and as you said, so right, that you get a brain injury, sense of self changes. The self doesn't change, but the sense of self. So my capital S self doesn't change. The truth, the capital T truth doesn't change. But my ability to interact with it does. So here's a way to understand that. What is your name?
Yvonne.
Yvonne, okay. So Yvonne is sitting right here in front of me. I can see her. She speaks, I can hear her. How do I know she exists? How do I interact with her existence? Well, through seeing her, through hearing her. If I were close enough to her, I could smell her. If she had a scent, I could touch her. If I were really close, I could taste her, right? But here I am, too far to smell, touch, or taste her. And if I close my eyes and she doesn't speak, I have absolutely no way of interacting with the existence of Yvonne. Now, you didn't stop existing when I closed my eyes, did you? The truth doesn't require us to be aware of it, but we require our own abilities in our brain mind to be aware of it in order for us to wake up to that truth. And that's what the brain does. The brain is the medium through which we interact with the truth, both the lowercase t truth and the capital T truth. It is the medium through which we interact with consciousness, spirit, soul, love, all of the stuff that is far beyond the brain, beyond the mind, nonetheless. The brain is the way that we interact with our own consciousness. When I meditate and I experience that place of merging into oneness, well, although it feels to me beyond the brain, beyond the mind, and it is, neurologically, I could tell you exactly what's happening in my brain because we now know it. They've put enough brain scanners on enough enlightened meditators to know. So we know, for example, that experience that we have of merging into oneness, that sense that we have of where I end and the world begins, that border dissipates. Well, we know that moment of experience coexists with a sharp decrease in the areas of the brain that are dedicated to what's called proprioception, which is how I know where I exist in the world, the thing that keeps me from stepping all over the table when I walk out of the room, because I know where it is in relation to me. It's that thing that enables me to walk off this couch without falling over, because I understand how long my legs are, how high the couch is. Proprioception. Well, as the areas of my brain that do that get quieter and quieter, I have more and more and more of an experience of there is no place I end and the world begins. Now, when I first realized that, I have to admit I had that moment of, oh, I mean, like to realize that those experiences exist in your brain, for me was this initial moment of, oh God, like this is just a thing in my brain. But then you realize, no. The brain is just the medium through which we experience it. It's not happening in the brain. Soul is connecting to soul, spirit to spirit. But I'm only able to be aware of that because my brain is able to get quiet in those areas to give me an awareness of being one with the world. Those areas of my brain quieting down, they didn't create my oneness with the world, but they're what enable me to experience it. In the same way that my eyes seeing her doesn't create her existence, she exists whether my eyes are open or closed. But my open eyes, my functional retina, functional optic nerve, functional occipital lobe of the brain, enables me to interact with her existence through vision. My brain is what enables me to interact with the truth of who I am. So yes, absolutely. Brain injury, different way of interacting. And what's so exciting about that is when you realize that all of that which you think you are, smart, stupid, brilliant, funny, depressed, popular, generous, selfless, selfish, what all of the different words that we would use to describe ourselves, when you realize that they're all functions of different aspects of our brain functioning, and that a simple injury in the brain is enough to render that entire personality trait over, or to give us a brand new personality trait, you realize, well, clearly that's not the truth of who I am. Because who I am doesn't exist in a lobe of my brain. Injure it and suddenly I'm different. All that exists in my brain is how I interact with truth. And so, yeah, I'm going to interact with it differently. If I ingest a lot of alcohol, if I ingest a lot of drugs, change the chemicals, you'll change the way I interact with my consciousness. Injure my brain, you'll change the way I interact with it. Get my dendrites and my glial cells to start to disintegrate, change the way I interact with it. But it's not changing the capital T truth. It's just changing my way of interacting with it. And what that does, should do, is allow us to take our personalities, our stories, our dramas a lot less seriously. Because you realize, wow, all of that just exists in various lobes of our brain. All of that just exists in various chemical and electrical interactions. All these personalities, all these issues, all this, all that, these emotions. Give us some chemicals, give us an electrical boost, give us a brain injury, give us whatever it may be. Changes. And so it enables us to get beyond being stuck with that. And to delve into that which is unchanging. That which isn't injured in my brain injury. That which doesn't disintegrate when my dendrites do. That which isn't dependent upon my eyes being open or shut, or my ears hearing her or not hearing her. It's not dependent on my optic nerve or a certain lobe of my brain. But that which just is.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation. So how do we let go of the ego? So here's the dilemma. Where does the ego exist? Mm-hmm. Where does the mind exist? So, in us, in our mind, there's ego. There's a lot of other things as well, but ego is a part of the mind. When I try to conquer it, let it go, push it away, the dilemma is it hears me say that. Right? It's like kids who the parents don't think know how to spell yet and who say, do you think we should go out for P-I-Z-Z-A or not? And the kid says, yeah, pizza, let's go, let's go. It can hear you. It knows you're planning to get rid of it. So the ego then starts to play even more games. So what I have found is that rather than talking to the ego that I'm going to annihilate you, conquer you, cut you out, go to war with you, be done with you, I find it more effective to acknowledge that the ego exists, but that the ego is only harmful the more attention I pay to it and the more power I give to it. And so if I let the ego run the show, then I have problems. But remember, there's a lot of other aspects in my mind in addition to the ego. In fact, all of my spiritual awakening experience is also existing in my mind. The truths I know, the compassion I'm having, the love I'm feeling, that all exists also in my mind. And so if I can work on expanding the space in my mind such that there's more and more space for this awakening I'm having, for the truth that I'm experiencing from the awareness. Because if you don't feed the ego, it won't grow. So then what you've got is you've got a much more spacious experience and just a little existence of the ego. And as long as you don't pay very much attention to it, it'll start, it'll say something. Turn your attention away. Don't try to kill it. Don't yell at it, don't judge it, because that's also ego. So this is the dilemma of the game that we play. So let's say, for example, I'm walking down the street, you and I meet. And maybe accidentally, you bump into me, okay? Crowded street, you bump into me. So immediately, maybe my ego says, who the hell does he think he is? Didn't he see me? What's wrong with him? Don't people pay attention anymore? God, what he must be. Then, suddenly another voice comes in and says, look at you judging that guy. Stop judging that guy. That's just the ego. The ego is judging. Out with you, ego. I'm not going to judge. See, I told you not to judge. You're still judging. You're never going to be spiritual. Don't you remember? Now you got bad karma for judging. So who's that talking? That's also my ego. It's another face of my ego. Everything that's operating in separation, in judgment, in tapes that are playing in my mind, of random indoctrination I've gotten. It's all ego. And so you end up in this kind of battle of the two faces of my ego that goes nowhere. Instead, when the ego pops up, so the ego says, oh, how dare he? Instead of that, Instead of yelling at it, judging it, trying to annihilate it, conquer it, beat it down. If instead, I simply drop into my heart. I get out of my mind entirely, I drop into my heart. I drop into love. What happens then is that that spaciousness then gets created in my mind. Nobody paid attention to the ego. It was like a kid shouting something from the way back of the car that nobody listened to. There's another ice cream parlor. Nobody paid any attention. Kid wants ice cream, but nobody's listening. There's another one, Mom. Nobody pays any attention. Eventually, he quiets down. He realizes, all right, I'm not going to get any ice cream. Nobody's listening. First couple times, he may throw a temper tantrum. That's when we start to really struggle with your ego when you embark on the spiritual path. Suddenly, here it is, throwing the temper tantrum because suddenly no one's listening. But slowly, 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 if you can allow it to exist, allow it to be there, just don't allow it to run the show. Don't allow it to make your decisions. Don't allow it to hijack your whole mind. The minute that you find it speaking, just drop into your heart or start chanting your mantra. Do something that pulls you completely out of the realm of the ego, that creates expansion in space. And you'll find then a way of coexisting with it. It's not about ever becoming completely ego-free. But it's about it not having any control over you anymore. It not being the one who calls the shots. It not being the one who speaks the words that come out of your mouth or makes the decisions for your life. It's like as parents or as adults, we don't turn to the babies in our lives and ask for their advice on the important decisions we're going to take. We don't ask them what direction to go. Even if they're screaming, ice cream cone, ice cream cone. We understand, okay, it's a child. Sure, that's what they're going to yell. The same way the ego is going to yell from its place of separation. It's going to yell from that which it was indoctrinated to yell. Let it be. Let it be. Bring the attention to that which is real, that which is true. The heart, the expansion, the connection, the oneness, the truth. And slowly, 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 its power will dissipate. Then you'll find yourself actually free of it. It'll still coexist, but you'll be free of it even existing with it. You don't have to kill it to be free of it. You just have to stop letting it run the show.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back. to inspiration and transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. The difference between religion and spirituality and where to go. Here's the dilemma, and it's tragic actually. At the core, at the foundation, the point of religion is to connect us to God. Is to connect us to the eternal. And what is that eternal? It's spirit, soul. It's that which connects us to each other. That which flows through me is the same as that which flows through you. Well, what is that? That's spirit. To be focused on that is spirituality. That's what religion at its most fundamental core, purpose, beauty is supposed to do. The dilemma is that over thousands of years, not just recently, religion has been used as a way of boxing people up. It's been used as a way of theoretically civilizing people, but rather just dumbing them down, turning them into sheep, do what I say because otherwise God will be angry at you. I mean, it's been used in all sorts of ways that have nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with spirit, nothing to do with soul, nothing to do with love, and everything to do with follow what I say. Well, in spirit, there is no you, there is no I. There's just God. So the problem for me is that many, many people say, oh, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. Or as you say, which should I follow? Religion is that I'm not interested in, I don't believe. But I don't want to say, no problem, be spiritual, but not religious. Because I feel like we need to take back religion. Just because religion has been co-opted by people who are much more interested in money and power than in God, doesn't mean that we should let them have religion and run with it and we'll just hang on to spirituality over here. We should take back religion. And so I would say to you, be both. Be religious. Whatever path works for you. Religion is a way of connecting to God. It is a way of understanding the universe. Different religions explain it slightly differently. But one thing is present in all of them, which is we've got this divine creator, which means that this creation is sacred. Whether we believe in some religions that God just created the creation, or whether we believe, like in Hinduism, that actually God pervades the creation, either way, the creation is sacred. If someone you love makes something for you and gives it to you, it's special, right? I mean, why do parents put up pictures of scribbles on the refrigerator, right? Neighbors come in, what is that? That's just scribbles, that's nothing. Oh, my grandchild made it. Ah, now it's something. Not because the scribbles are anything, but only because the creator of the scribbles is someone you love. Therefore, these scribbles have become very important. So in the same way, whether we say God has just created the earth, or God pervades everything. Either way, this creation is sacred. So we need to take back religion. And really insist that it stop being co-opted by people. And I know it's been happening for thousands of years. That doesn't make it right. Take back religion. Whatever your religion may be, take it back. Take it out of the hands of people who have politicized it or commercialized it or stuck it in a box. Pull the beautiful teachings out of your scriptures. Connect with the divine in the form that your religion, or that whatever religion works for you, maybe the one you were born with, may not be, either way, doesn't matter. But connect with the divine in whatever way works. But don't throw away religion just because it's gotten a bad name. Remember that ultimately the point is to connect to spirit. Because that's the truth of who you are. And that's the truth of who everyone is. And so if we're not spiritual, then this world is just made up of objects. I'm an object, you're an object, you're an object, you're an object. We're all objects. And this is where we spend our lives trying to either use each other to get ahead for our physical pleasures, whatever it may be, but to use each other in some way, or to move each other out of our path. This is how most people go through the world, seeing each other either as you are someone, kamkai. Yeah, you are someone I need to stay away from. Get out of the way. Because you're an object. But if I realize I am spirit, I have a body, but I'm not the body. In the same way you are spirit, there is no place I end and you begin. That's spirituality. And if you go back to so many of the most beautiful teachings of so many of the different religions, they give us that. So we need to reclaim the truth and the beauty of our religions, not just allow it to be hijacked by those who aren't interested in God and are only interested in their own power or money. Yeah. This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week, and I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio. Thank you.